Hello, everyone, and thanks for joining us today. My name is Natalie Braywell. I'm a Director of Demand Generation Services at Siebel Systems, and I'm very pleased to welcome you all to Siebel Systems Web Seminar. And now I'd like to introduce our presenters for today. Joining me at the Siebel Systems headquarters is Gary Damiano, who's an Executive Director with Siebel CRM On Demand. Gary Damiano's career in the software industry spans over 25 years, specializing in database systems and front and back office of business applications. Now joining us from Forrester is Liz Herbert, who is an analyst on Forrester's Enterprise Applications Research Team, covering mid-market and hosted CRM. She analyzes CRM trends, strategies, and best practices with a focus on sales and Salesforce automation. Now we're joined by two special guests. Chris Seidensticker from Estech, who is the Director of Finance for Estech Inc., a privately held medical device company that develops and markets products exclusively for the cardiac surgery market. Now we're also joined by Sheila Ryan from Acuity Brand Lighting. She's the inside sales manager for Acuity Brand Lighting in Austin, Texas. So with that, I'd like to turn it over to our presenters, and we'll start with Gary Damiano.
Good morning and afternoon to everybody. Welcome to today's Customer Roundtable webinar. Yeah, I'd like to start off by talking a little bit about contact management, because for many of our prospects and customers at Siebel, many of them came from the world of contact management and the use of contact management. Yeah, when I graduated from grad school back in the late 70s, on my first job, my manager sat down and basically showed me a system using 5x7-inch index cards to capture my customer name and address and company information and contact information. And I thought that was actually a pretty good system back then for tracking all this information. The problem with it is that I would typically have to rewrite the card every time the information got changed a lot. And it was really a problem if I accidentally dropped the deck, which at one point exceeded over 100 cards, because then I had to manually resort them into alphabetical order. And that sort of was okay for a couple of years. Being the technology person that I am, in 1983, I bought my first portable computer. It was a Radio Shack TRS-80 Model 100. So for those of you out there who remember that, you know exactly what I'm talking about. You know, and that allowed me to store on the computer the names, addresses, company information, schedule, and notes. The problem with that portable computer was that it was only 16K of memory. That's kilobytes, not megs. And so I spent a lot of time moving data to, we used to store the data on a little audio tape attached to the machine, or you could actually plug it into a floppy drive. So I spent a lot of time moving data back and forth because that was the only way of permanently storing it. In the late 80s and 90s, we moved into the world of laptop computers and using either spreadsheets. You know, at the time it was either VisiCalc or Lotus 1-2-3, or maybe some of the first contact management software packages that came out during those times. But those packages really took contact management to a whole new level in that you could do some limited customization. They were definitely, the data was definitely better organized. There was no repetition, and the information was also reportable. Unfortunately, there was also really no management view of the data, and it really wasn't shareable, and that really limited the strategic value of using those early contact management products. The reality of contact management software, typically, as I learned from my own experiences and working with many customers, is that it's typically driven by the sales service rep to address their specific needs. It's tactical in its orientation to data and reporting, and it has limited value to the business from a strategic perspective. The need for CRM is driven really by the strategic needs of a company, which also has the requirement to address the tactical requirements of the individual sales, call center, or service rep. So CRM really goes far beyond what contact management did in its simplistic approach to really just storing some basic information that the sales or service rep needed. The journey from contact management to CRM is really an evolution story from tactical management and use of data to the strategic leverage of information. Today's webinar delves into that value proposition for CRM and how companies have successfully made that transition from the tactical constraints of contact management more of the strategic leverage of CRM. I'd like to introduce Liz Herbert, who will be our panel moderator for today's webinar. Liz?
Thanks, Gary. Hi, everyone. Thanks for attending today's webinar. I am Liz Herbert, as Gary mentioned, and I'm an analyst on the Enterprise Applications team at Forrester Research, covering customer relationship management. And what that means is that day-to-day I work with clients who are looking at or planning technology purchases and help them figure out which solutions are the best fit for their business needs and also best practices for how to implement those solutions and how to get value out of their investments. So today we're going to hear from two companies who have recently implemented CRM so you can get some real data points on their success with it. But before we move into the customer roundtable, I'd like to spend a few minutes talking about the typical reasons why we see firms invest in CRM, some of the best practices we've learned from working with our clients, and how our clients are able to measure ROI and determine whether they're getting value out of those investments. So the firms that we work with who are looking at CRM for the first time have typically, as Gary talked about, been managing contacts through simple contact managers or sometimes Excel, email, or still using the index cards in the Rolodex. And typically what this means is that all of their customer information is decentralized. So even the basics about, you know, what colors these customers like or the sports teams that they like that sales reps might want to know when they're trying to build a relationship are often decentralized and not everybody has access to them. More importantly, any sales rep, marketing, or service person making a phone call doesn't have insight into what the other divisions are doing. And then from the management standpoint, there's really no way to get visibility into what's going on with your sales pipeline and sales activities. There's no way to measure the results of your marketing campaigns, or if you're doing that separately, it's not linked to what else is going on with these customers, so you're getting an incomplete picture. And it's also not linked to the customer service. So if you have a salesperson who's calling on a customer to see if they want to order more of your product and you don't know that there is a service issue out, that's something that's important information for the sales rep to have. So these are the main drivers that we see with our customers when they're looking at moving into a CRM solution for the first time. Now, I know some of you sent in questions, and a lot of the questions were around ROI, and what kind of ROI can you expect? What are the benefits of CRM above contact management? And also, what are some ways that you can start to quantify the benefits? So here we've given some examples of ways that some of our clients have quantified the benefits that they're getting. And as you can see, at Forrester, we define CRM as encompassing three areas: sales and Salesforce automation, marketing automation, and finally, customer service and support. So as you can see on the slide, here are some concrete metrics that you can look at from the early days when you implement CRM and then check in months or years later and see how these various metrics have improved over time. So regarding Salesforce automation, looking at things like revenue per sales rep, length of your sales cycle, average revenue per customer. When looking at things like marketing automation, you'll want to look at campaign response rates, cost of acquiring a new customer, length of lead to opportunity, and then finally for customer service and support, looking at customer retention rates, amount of time it takes to resolve a service issue, how much time people are spending waiting in your call queue. One thing that we've seen is that with CRM implementations, our clients are able to get better insight into a full process rather just into one incident or one sale, and that has helped them be able to actually improve these processes over time. So I know for some of our clients who are trying to improve sales effectiveness, through looking at CRM data over time, they're able to address where are the sales bottlenecks, why are we winning and losing deals, on the marketing side, thinking about which types of campaigns and which customers are most responsive to these types of campaigns so that they can get more value out of the dollars that they're investing in those marketing campaigns. And then also being able to figure out what are the right products to sell your existing customers or to sell a new product if you have some information about these customer preferences, and really be able to get more sales through things like cross-sell and upsell. And all of this, of course, requires strong reporting and analytics tied into the CRM so that managers can really make the most informed decisions. Those are some of the drivers. Let's move ahead and talk about some of the best practices that we've learned from working with clients here at Forrester. First one is make sure that you fix your business processes first. And that might mean employing a consultant or the services from the vendor you're buying CRM from to really get some insight into what are the right business processes, maybe what have other firms in similar industries done. But not just throwing technology at broken business processes, making sure that you fix them before you enable them and automate them with this new technology. Then we advise people to roll these systems out slowly and make sure that you're incorporating user feedback at all stages. So you want to make sure that you have a representative set of users. Maybe that's a sales manager, a sales rep, a marketing rep, a customer service agent, and a call center manager, and involve them during the requirements gathering, but then also do some early piloting with that same group so that you can get some early feedback before you roll out to the rest of your company. And don't overdo it. Too often we see people moving into their first CRM solution. There's a lot of bells and whistles on these systems that maybe don't apply to your specific business problem. So while it might look like an exciting feature, it's not necessarily helping a business problem, and it will just end up confusing or cluttering up the user interface and making your user experience worse. Okay, data quality. I'm sure you've all heard the phrase garbage in, garbage out. You want to make sure that you have good quality data in the system, otherwise people won't rely on it, and you'll still end up with people shadow tracking accounts in their Excel files or in their, you know, Outlook email. So what can you do to ensure better data quality? First thing is, when you get started, make sure that the data is clean. And if you need some services help, often the vendors can help with this, or you can work with a consulting firm. But make sure that if you are compiling data from a variety of contact managers, from the various email programs that your sales reps and marketing people are using, that you clean that data before you put it all into the new system. And make sure you have a standard way and train people on what's the right way to enter data into the system. Maybe you need to make sure that everyone knows when you're entering a new account, look in the existing accounts and make sure that's not already in there before just going ahead with it. And then finally, make data cleansing a continuous process. Most CRM systems today have tools in there for detecting duplicate records and merge records tools. So even if you're a sales rep who just notices there's two of your account, you can go ahead and merge the records. Or at some companies, you want to make this a centralized process where you have one person in charge of going through the data and making sure they're cleaning it up on a periodic basis. All right, user adoption. This continues to be one of the biggest challenges in CRM rollouts, is how do you get people to use the system and to actually make it a part of their daily work life? First, and this is a must, is executive commitment. You need to make sure that from the very highest people in your company, they are promoting and advocating the CRM solution and making people understand why it is of value to the company. Second of all, you want to make sure that there's benefit in there for the users. You want to make sure that it's easy for them to use, and therefore you want to make sure that there's a way that your users can provide feedback so that if they see something that's preventing them from using the tool effectively, you can fix it. And related to that, make sure that there's relevant training. Make sure that your users understand how they can be using the system, how they can benefit from the system, and also provide them with some role-based reference materials for after the fact, since often in these Big Bang trainings, in the early stages of a rollout, people are trying to assimilate a lot of information using a technology for the first time and are likely to not remember everything going forward. Okay, ROI. When firms are investing money in CRM, they always want to know what is the value that we're going to get out of it. And I find that for a lot of companies, especially in the mid-market, it's hard to think of specific metrics. And it can be particularly challenging to measure an ROI if this is your first system and you don't know what to compare it to. So some ways that people look at the ROI is thinking about having a single view of the customer, the fact that your sales, service, and marketing are all seeing the same interactions with the customer. Maybe you can see improvements in your reporting and analysis. So you talk to managers and you see that they're getting better visibility into the sales pipeline. Or maybe you're talking to the head of marketing and you're seeing that they're able to track their marketing campaigns and look at the ROI there more effectively. You can also get more numerical. For example, if you link your CRM solution in with call center, you can start tracking first call resolution rate and see if that goes down over time, or if that goes up over time, and if the amount of time spent solving each of those goes down over time as you continue to use the CRM solution. And you can also look at things like how long you're spending training a new sales rep or a new customer service agent. A lot of times when people roll out these solutions, they're able to embed some of the process piece into it so that they can cut down on some of the training time as far as what is our sales process or what is the call script when that customer calls into the call center and they're upset. And then, of course, there's more strategic, fuzzier, hard-to-measure ways to think about benefits that you're getting out of CRM, For example, being able to differentiate yourself from your competitors or being more proactive with your customers. A big one is preference-based marketing or preference-based sales, the right cross-sell and upsell, so that your customers feel like they are an individual and that you've cared about whether they like email campaigns or whether they've said, no, I really only want to be contacted by phone and I only want to be contacted at the most once a month. And through all that, you can really start to deliver better customer experiences to everyone. Okay, let's move into the most important part of the webinar, which is hearing from the customers themselves. First, I'd like to introduce Chris Seidensticker of S-Tech. He is the Director of Finance, and Chris, I'll let you introduce a bit about yourself and your company.
Sure, absolutely. I appreciate the time. My name is Chris Seidensticker, Director of Finance at S-Tech. As I said at the beginning of this call, I'll basically repeat the same information, just shortened. We're a privately held medical device company, and we develop and market products exclusively for the cardiac surgery market. The biggest impetus for our move to CRM was that we have, a direct sales force, both domestically and internationally, that was going to benefit greatly from having access to this, to customer information as well as sales information.
Great. Thank you, Chris. And now I'd like to introduce Sheila Ryan. She is from Acuity Brands. She is the inside sales manager. And Sheila, how about you give a bit about yourself?
Yeah, sure. Hi. I am the customer service manager basically here. I manage the group that's doing all the order management, quotations, and field service issues that occur post-sales. And we are a lighting manufacturer with manufacturing facilities in Austin as well as across the United States and in Mexico. So we've got information coming from a lot of different places.
Okay. Well, again, thank you both for joining us today. Let's jump into some questions. This first section, I'd like to ask you about some of the business reasons why you decided to go ahead with this CRM investment. So, Sheila, let's start with you. What would you say were the key business drivers leading you to invest in CRM?
Well, first and foremost was we didn't have anything other than Outlook or Excel, and so we had no single data source for our customer information. And it was very challenging, especially because we have multiple sales channels here. I have internal as well as external sales forces, so we needed a way to manage that sales channel conflict so we knew who was working on which project and knew who to protect those who deserve protection on accounts. The other big driver for us was the fact that customer service, of course, for me, was a big dream to have a way to track all of our post-sales issues, see all of my quotes in a forecasting tool, as well as use the knowledge base to help us be more responsive to our customers.
Great. Well, that sounds pretty typical, thinking about some other clients that I've worked with. Chris, how about you? What about your specific business drivers?
Similar to Acuity, we didn't have anything at all here. We were using the index cards as well to track if our sales reps were tracking anything. That's what they would be using. Some of them may have had Outlook or ACT, but really we had nothing. And we also were lacking a little bit in sales leadership, and so I recognize that our ability to sell would be a lot more effective if our reps had access to their customers' information and history, what those customers had bought in the past, and then could also use the tool to plan what their next day would look like, what their next week would look like, what their next month would look like. And so it was really two problems. One was provide them information, but also to allow them to more effectively plan their sales month.
Great. So, Chris, it sounds like there was no specific issue. Can you talk about this? Was your decision developed over a long period of time, or was there some specific trigger that led you to really get going and moving on this investment decision?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. There was no specific trigger that did it. I mean, we've got some really aggressive sales goals, and besides finding new sales leadership, finding the right sales reps, we're looking for every possible advantage we have and we can identify to ensure that our sales goals are met. And one of those was getting a product in place that would facilitate selling, that would facilitate sharing of information.
Great. And Sheila, how about in your situation? Would you say that there was a specific trigger, or was your decision to invest in CRM developed over a longer period of time?
Well, we did really develop it over a period of time, but the sales channel conflict management was a big deal here because Austin's kind of a crossroads for Acuity. for selling through all these channels because we provide product to all these channels. So that was very critical. We looked at Oracle CRM for a while because we are an Oracle shop, but it was just going to be too much to get Oracle in place, and so we turned to Siebel looking at how quickly and easily we could get the on-demand going.
Okay, well, I would say that the reasons sound pretty typical when I think about the other clients that I've worked with being at Forrester. Often it is getting that centralized information. To Sheila's point, being able to assign those accounts and those customers to specific reps so that you make sure people aren't poaching. Also, to improve the overall customer experience, making sure that, you know, you are able to have all of the information that's available to you when you are speaking with these valuable customers. Also being able to automate more business processes, take out some of the manual work that goes into managing either multiple systems or writing down names on index cards or typing into Excel. And then finally, especially from the manager perspective or for the longer-term goals of the company, being able to really look back at data and gain insight that will help you improve your processes. Okay, so Sheila, let's start with you. How did you go about justifying this project?
Well, what we did was we kind of took a typical day in the life of a customer service member and used their activities benchmark and used them as benchmark activities and said, okay, we spend this much time trying to retrieve information about our customers or answer their requests for information or handle post-sales calls. So we wanted to, we thought we could reduce the time it took to take care of an incident. We thought we could reduce and eliminate errors if we had a single source. And we really thought we could reduce turnaround time overall and give a better customer service view. So by looking at those activities, we said we can reduce our headcount, we think, by becoming more efficient and more effective. So that's what we started to do, to take it to the executive folks and say, here's why we need this tool.
That makes sense. Now, Chris, you are the director of finance, so I know for a lot of the clients I work with, you're the person they have to justify the project to. Can you talk a bit about how this works in your company?
Yeah, absolutely. Besides being director of finance, I mean, we're a pretty small company, less than 50 employees, and so I get involved in most aspects of the operations of the company, and I'm very much involved in the sales organization, and so it really was, you know, over a month or two talking to sales management as well as my CEO, and you know, it was really quick discussion of the benefits of having CRM and having something that was online accessible to everybody, and describing that to my CEO to get him on board, and then quickly soon thereafter getting, you know, the sales management on board. And then from, you know, from a cost perspective for me was, you know, we use the on-demand product, it's less than $100 a month per person. It was really a no-brainer for me to get, you know, this level of functionality for such a small price and zero upfront investment.
Sure, and later we'll talk a bit more about some of the trade-offs, and I think that's a pretty common reason for people to go with on-demand is it is lower cost and it's lower risk up front. So, but we will talk about that more later in the program. Let's talk about criteria for selecting a solution. Chris, what would you say your key criteria were when you were going through this technology evaluation?
Primarily the ability to modify the product and to do it pretty simply so that I didn't need a consultant to come in for 3 weeks and do it. I could do it, and I've got basically no IT background. We liked Siebel's industry-specific edition. We do use their medical device or their medical edition of the on-demand product. We looked briefly at some of the really small, not very well-known CRM products out there, but you know, I just, given limited amount of time to make a decision and limited resources to really research all of these millions of different companies out there, I wanted a company that was well-respected, well-known, had been around for a long time, who had the opportunity to have the product out there and work kinks out. So that was pretty important for me. And then, you know, I wanted really, you know, a complete solution, something that provided Salesforce automation, but also some marketing automation and some customer relationship management automation.
Makes sense. Now, Sheila, can you talk about your situation? What would you say were the key criteria when you looked at different solutions out there in the market?
I think, like Chris, definitely the customization piece of this tool was just phenomenal and so easy to use. That was a big, big deal for us to be able to get it to fit our business. Of course, the other is ease of use, the web-based tool is very easy. We really like the online tutorial and help that's available on each of the screens. We use that exclusively pretty much to do all of our training. The other thing, the Outlook email integration is great. We use that extensively to get data into the tool on a daily basis. And I guess the other thing that we liked about the Siebel tool was the sales process coach that's in there that allows you to define your sales stages, and we have even elaborated that to our business to use for product development stages. So it's a great way to document our processes and help educate new people coming in.
Sounds familiar when I think about, again, the other clients that I've worked with who went through very similar purchasing decisions. Now, Forrester has three main areas where we try to group different criteria into, the first being the functionality. So some of these points the customers have made about being able to have integrated sales, marketing, and service. I think we heard from both of them how important customization is to this type of a purchase, because your business processes are not going to be like any other company. So you want to make sure that you have that ability. Other things we hear about from our customers when they're buying a solution like this, I think, fit in with what we heard from Chris. If you are in an industry where there's an industry-specific addition that can help jumpstart your deployment, we often see people leaning towards that type of a vendor. And then we also hear clients wanting to know, where is this company going in the future? What types of R&D are they doing? What is their plan for servicing and supporting me as a long-term customer? And then finally, we do still get a lot of questions around, what is the vendor's viability? What is their market presence? What are their financials? How many customers do they have? Do they have customers in other geographies? If you think about Sheila's company, where you have people in multiple geographies, you want to make sure that if you have multiple language needs or support that requires hours outside of U.S. time zones, that your vendor is able to support that. So both of you mentioned customization as very key to this decision. Can you talk about, and we'll start with Sheila this time, can you talk about how you specifically customized the solution to meet your specific business needs? And also, you both talked about ease of customization, so if you can talk about who did that.
Well, yeah, glad to. I'll use the service tab, for example, for logging all of our post-sales issues. We were able to add fields that mirrored our order management system as well as our manufacturing areas so that we could log our costs and our defect types. So I get great reports that I can give the management that show them, here are our problem areas in our post-sales. What do we need to improve in our quality? So, and I did it, and I've got another person in my group who, actually I've got two other people that are administrators too, that it's just so easy to do. And as people use it, we continue to look, oh, we need to add this, especially like in the drop-down list boxes. We really like that feature. And you can do it at a drop of the hat. It's wonderful.
And Chris, what about you? Can you talk a bit about who did the customizations and what specifically you changed about the solution to make it more specific to your company?
Sure. We had a Siebel systems engineer come out as part of the Quick Start program when we implemented the product. And so she and I worked together for maybe a week before she came on site, and it was on site for 3 days. And the customization that she put into place was primarily surrounding the opportunities functionality of the system, which allows you to put in what you consider to be your sales opportunities going forward in the future. And for us, it rolls up into what we consider our sales forecast. But, you know, we had some specifics that we wanted to incorporate into this, into these records or into this functionality, concerning product lines that we'd want to sell, concerning activities that would occur along with the sales process. And in particular, one thing that we've really, really enjoyed is it's incorporated into the product as a sales process coach, which allows us to drop into the system our own sales process that the rep can click on a button and go, okay, I'm at this step of the process. These are the to-dos I should be doing, and I should go and look at do this next. And so that customization was really nice for us.
Makes sense. It sounds like you both really like the sales process coach, where you can start embedding some of your processes right into that solution. Now, Chris, you mentioned that you used the Quick Start package. Can you go into some more detail about this and talk about why you decided to go that route?
Sure. You know, again, small company. I've got three people on my staff. I don't have the resources to have someone dedicated to implementing the system and uploading historical data for a week or two. So it made sense for us to have someone come out for a few days and do it. and get that focused attention from someone from Siebel that knows how to do it. So there weren't any errors in implementation, and we got it right the first time. So again, I mean, the entire process, the entire rollout was, we really did very quickly because we had our reps coming out for a trade show to California, and we wanted to get them trained while they were here. So we had someone on site for 3 days, and we did pre-work of maybe about a week or so. And besides, you know, doing all of the customization, this person was also able to load in 3 years' worth of historical sales data, load in all of our accounts, and load in, you know, set up all of the campaign functionality and the medical events functionality that we use for training labs.
So it sounds like that was a good decision based on your company's situation and all those different pieces that you were able to get out of the quick start. Sheila, it sounds like you didn't use any services or consulting. Can you talk a bit more about your implementation and how that went?
Sure. What we did here was I took a look at the online training services that y'all have that are free, and reviewed the classes and pretty much started folks out depending on their role, whether they're a customer service person or a sales manager or a quote person, recommended which classes they should take. For example, there's one for navigating Siebel, so first understanding how do you get around in the tool. So I gave folks a list of those classes to take and then followed up with not only one-on-one training, but I did group training based on the roles that were involved so that we made sure we had people entering data the way we needed them to enter data, especially since we've done quite a bit of customization of fields so the online stuff wouldn't cover necessarily. And then we just continue to do, because we use the tool daily, I have lots of opportunity to work with folks one-on-one to continue to train and get them to understand all the bells and whistles of the tool.
Okay, so how long would you say that, thinking about from the time you purchased the solution to the time you actually rolled it out to your users, how long would you say that took, Sheila?
We probably spent about 30 to 45 days working on the customization, understanding the tool, asking questions with the Siebel support team that was helping us as we piloted it. And then when we were ready to go live, about 1 to 2 weeks.
Okay, and Chris, how long would you say it took for your company?
Again, as I mentioned, probably 2 weeks total.
Okay, sounds good. Yeah, I mean, this is something that we're hearing a lot from customers that we work with here at Forrester that do decide to go with the on-demand option rather than on-premise. First of all, we see that even right up front, the sales cycle can be shorter because often with the pay-as-you-go pricing, there's not as much need for budget authority and IT to get signed off on that. The other thing is that because you don't have to spend time acquiring and testing hardware or installing software, it's not uncommon to see these very short implementation times, sometimes as little as 1 day, and at worst case really with the on-demand solutions within my client base, it's been a few months. So definitely a big change from an on-premise implementation that typically takes a minimum of a few months. And the other thing is, I think we heard from both customers, is that with this on-demand model where the vendors have really focused on point-and-click wizards for setup and configuration, not only is it easier to do some of the customizations and setup activities like adding new users, but it typically means that business users can do it without involving IT. And as all of us can relate, I'm sure, sometimes if IT has a lot on their plate, you won't be the top of their priority list, whereas if your business users are able to go ahead and do this themselves and it's a priority for the business unit, then you can usually save a lot of time with implementation and rollout through doing that. And again, the industry-specific additions, really cutting out some of the customizations that are common across an industry. For example, calling your contacts patients rather than contacts or customers. All right, let's talk about challenges. I have yet to work with a client that rolled out any type of CRM solution without running into some challenges. So, Chris, what would you say your biggest challenge was during your implementation, and how did you overcome it?
For us, it was probably user adoption. Our sales reps, you know, our customers are our cardiac surgeons, and our sales reps are similar in that they're a little averse to change. They're a little hesitant to try new things. And so for us, it was, you know, a lot of our sales reps could barely turn their computer on, so user adoption was a big thing. And having them all come out for the training was the first big step, where they brought their laptops, they got on to their accounts, We had preloaded for them, as I'd mentioned before, 3 years of historical data for their accounts. I had also preloaded for them opportunities that said basically, based on your past sales history of your accounts, this is what looks like your sales opportunities would be for the next 3 months. So they could get on the system and immediately start using it. And we use that training time as well to have them start loading in their contacts at each of their hospitals and have those all sink in and working together. The other thing that we did from a user adoption perspective was we had really strong senior management support of the product. And pretty much every opportunity that we had in talking to our sales team, we mentioned Siebel. And we've gotten to the point where if a customer, a sales rep asks a question, almost universally the answer is it's in Siebel. You should go check Siebel. When we talk about what their sales plan looks like, we first say, hey, I looked in Siebel for your sales plan, and I have a question. So it's really having senior management buying into it, really pushing it, talking about it pretty much constantly, and then having your product set up before the sales rep first uses it.
Right, putting the value in there for sales reps. I think that resonates with what I've heard from other clients I've worked with. Sheila, what would you say is your biggest challenge when implementing the solution at your firm, and how did you overcome that?
The biggest thing for us was that we needed to integrate data from our order management and our quote systems, which I do have more than one quotation system for the different sales channels. So I needed to bring that data into the tool so that anyone using it would get that complete picture of the customer from quote to service issue. And so what we did was we found that the import-export function was very easy to use and basically just created an Excel file from our quotes and order data and then just import it. And so we do that on a daily basis now to keep that data up to date.
Makes sense. Now, Sheila, you already talked a lot about how you did training and used the online materials, so why don't we give this question to Chris. Chris, how did your company do training?
I didn't use, for our reps, I didn't have them use any of the online materials. It was really hands-on, bringing them in for that first day of training, and then since then I do a lot of one-on-one trainings, I do a lot of update trainings. And then every time we have a sales management meeting, every time we bring all the sales reps to one place and have a training meeting for products, for selling acumen, things like that, we also devote a portion of that time to training on Siebel. So it's really been a lot more hands-on for us in making sure that the reps are comfortable with the product.
Sure, right. Across my clients, I've seen both. For some firms, the online seems to work well. For others, it's more of a hands-on type of culture. All right, well, Chris, you said your biggest problem was user adoption. I think we heard a lot about what you did to solve it. So, Sheila, why don't you take this question? How did your firm drive user adoption?
Well, definitely buy-in from upper management was very critical, and actually having upper management use the tool and be delighted with it, that's been a great way to get it going. The other thing we do is it's basically we've got required daily uses. For example, service requests. When someone calls in with a post-sale or a warranty issue or a labor claim, we are required to take out a service request number using the Siebel tool. So anytime a customer service rep comes to talk to me about a field issue, I immediately say, like Chris was saying, what's the service request number, what's in the Siebel system, and then we go from there. And, of course, we have weekly meetings and reporting off of that tool. So it's just really by making it part of their daily job function in customer service has enabled us to make this work.
That makes sense. I think those are some good tips for any of you listening that are thinking about or maybe have just purchased some CRM and are attending today to get some tips for how to best roll it out. These are some other ideas that we've heard, both from Chris and Sheila and also across the Forrester client base, is the executive commitment, and not only that, but making sure your star sales reps and your star customer service agents are also advocating the system. The role-based training, which we heard a lot about. And again, I think we heard this from both Chris and Sheila, making sure that there's information in there that will benefit your sales and marketing professionals, not just making this a tool for managers that's a pain for your end users in sales or marketing to be putting information into the system. And we've also seen some companies incent people on using the system, or sometimes a negative incentive, like you can only get paid on deals that were logged in the system. Okay, ROI and benefits. So a lot of you attending the call today probably think it sounds interesting, but I bet you're wondering, what exact benefits did these customers get? So, Chris, let's start with you. What would you say were the top three benefits you achieved from using this system?
Primarily, the sales reps have full access to their customer information. And they know what the customer has bought in the past. They know what sales they think they'll get from them in the future. They've got their contacts linked to their customers. They also know if a surgeon works at multiple hospitals, that that information is in there. That's, you know, number one. Number two, senior management has a much better understanding of what our sales pipeline looks like. We can more proactively talk to our sales reps and say, hey, you know, your forecast at the beginning of this month was X, it's now Y, what's going on? Talk to me about what's happening. So we can proactively do things to assist that rep or change direction. The other major benefits we're seeing, two other ones from a marketing perspective, is we use the campaign functionality for our trade shows. So we can measure ROI on our trade shows, and that's been very, very helpful. And then we also, the medical edition of this product has a medical event functionality where we actually set up and track our training labs where we invite surgeons to come in and view our product and get trained on procedures. And so, you know, that's been very, very nice to coordinate that and has made that entire process a lot more efficient.
Sure. And sounds like a good mix of benefits, not just sales and not just marketing, but it sounds like both divisions have benefited. Sheila, how about yourself? What would you say are the top three benefits that you've achieved from using the system?
Yeah, I have some that are very similar to Chris's. First of all, that comprehensive view of the customer is just a phenomenal help to a customer service rep, to a sales rep, to a sales manager. Anyone that's working with that customer gets immediately and very quickly a view of everything that's going on at that customer site, whether it's in quotes or orders or post-sales issues or any kind of challenges that customer has. Because of our ability to get so much good data into one single source, we are much more intelligent when we're talking to our customers. So that's a big plus. The other two are really, of course, a view of our pipeline. What is coming down the pipeline? What do we think we're going to be forecasting? It gives us a much better idea of volume and potential that are coming with our customers than we had before. And now, also, of course, accurate reporting of our service issues. That has been a tremendous help.
Makes sense. It sounds, again, like you've gotten a range of benefits from this investment. Now, I know something that a lot of my clients struggle with, especially if it's their first CRM, is how do you measure results? And are there formal ways to measure it, or is it more the informal? So, Sheila, let's start with you. How does your firm measure results?
Well, I mentioned earlier about how did we build our business case, and it was by creating a benchmark activity document. Our goal is to go back to those benchmark activities and do a time study again to say, okay, are we more effective? Does it take us less time? Can we actually reduce or eliminate errors in our responses to our customers, especially like on service issues when with the use of the knowledge base and enabling our ability to provide better service because we are more intelligent when we're talking to them. But we haven't gone back to do that time study yet. We've got a couple more things that we'd like to integrate with the tool, that being our quotations and order management, make that more using with a back office integration tool potentially. So we're kind of waiting till we do that phase of the project to really finish the ROI benchmarking study. There's just a lot of things that are hard to measure, like with the customer experience, that I really think is overall better.
Sure. So it sounds like in Sheila's case, it's a mix of harder to measure ones, but then there's also the benchmarking in place. Chris, how about in your company? How are you measuring the benefits?
We're not doing anything formalized. Again, for me, from a financial perspective, the cost of this is so low that we don't do formalized ROIs on this. Heck, I don't have the staff to dedicate to running an ROI on something I know is paying for itself. So, you know, our measurement, I guess, of results is just kind of on a daily basis, hearing the reps out there talking about the benefits of the system, you know, knowing that the reps have access to all the sales that close that particular day, and they can go in and without calling into the home office can get online and go, okay, yeah, that sale shipped, that's fantastic. Talking to our new VP of sales and hearing him say, gosh, this is just a fantastic system. I'm so glad you have this. It makes my job so much easier. So a lot more informal than formal.
Sure, and I'd say, you know, thinking across my client base, I typically do see a mix. Some companies are very metric-driven. Some are more informal, or to your point, don't have the resources to be doing all this metricing. So some of the other ways that I've seen firms measure the ROI, if you are the type of company that needs to have hard metrics, are measuring length of sales cycle, measuring your increased revenue, looking at maybe customer satisfaction ratings and how those have improved since buying the CRM or 1-2 years out after investing in CRM, looking at customer retention rates, and also looking at your ability to cross-sell and upsell. And if you think back to that earlier slide, I think we had some more examples on there. And then there are the strategic benefits. It's hard to quantify these, but I think we've heard from both customers, the 360-degree view of the customer, being able to deliver a more consistent customer experience and serve customers better. And ultimately, that's a competitive differentiation for a lot of companies. All right, so let's give some recommendations to any of you on the call today who, you know, have heard these two success stories and are thinking about an investment yourselves. Forrester's recommendations are to start with people and process. Again, don't just enable broken business processes with technology. Make sure that you are thinking about the right people, the right process, and how the technology can support those. Again, and Sheila is a good example of this, outline very specific metrics and tangible goals with the system. And also, as we heard from both customers, your bigger goals. What are your bigger, more strategic business goals, and why are you thinking of investing in this solution? And then finally, most importantly, make sure you do have some key stakeholders who can take ownership of this initiative and who can look into the various results that you're getting and tune the system if you see that there are things that could be improved. All right, well, we're almost at the end of our hour here, so this is my contact information in case your questions don't all get answered today and you want to contact me.
Thank you, Liz, for moderating our roundtable discussion, and we do appreciate you taking the time. And I'd like to thank our customers for taking the time and sharing their experiences with all of our web seminar attendees. And as Gary mentioned, we'll have the replay posted on Siebel.com within 48 hours, so please do visit. And if you would like to listen to the conversation again or would like to forward it to one of your colleagues who may have missed the web seminar, then you're welcome to do that. And we'll also send that information to you via email. And then I would like to thank you for your interest in Siebel Systems and wish you a great day.